Live from the podcast studio, this is From Long Distance to Marriage with Rich and Andrea. We're a once long distance couple who closed 5,000 miles of distance and are now happily married.
We talk long distance, marriage and relationships.
Hi everyone and welcome to episode 52 of From Long Distance to Marriage. This week we wanted to talk about something we've touched on before. But first, a couple updates. You may have heard we launched our website with a bit of a new look, which we can accredit to Mr. Long Distance. Did a lot of work on that. So same URL, longdistancemarriage.com, but a bit of a new look. Hopefully you'll find it a bit easier to navigate and find the things you're looking for, and it looks prettier too. And we are still working hard to get our kind of ultimate guide to long distance out for you guys. Just kind of some final points now, isn't it, really?
It is.
Mostly done. Is that all the admin we have for now?
Mm-hmm.
Cool. So let's dive in. This week, we wanted to talk about deciding who should move when you're closing the distance. I think that there's a lot of kind of elements to consider for this, and that's going to depend on every relationship. But essentially, closing the distance means one of you is going to have to move, or you might mutually decide to move somewhere in between or somewhere else together. But there's going to be a lot of factors that will kind of affect this decision. I think obviously money is going to be a big one for a lot of couples. That might mean the affordability of the place you might be moving to, as well as kind of the visa process and how expensive that is. For us, it was, I mean, we kind of always just assumed that I would move. Like you never put that assumption on me, but even when we were really young and first talking and kind of daydreaming about it, it was us living in London and Camden above a record shop, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I think there's probably a lot more excitement and romanticism around living in London than Arizona. So yeah, I was kind of always just assumed that we would do that. And then when we started looking into visas, that was the easiest route to go. So that's kind of what we went with essentially. But I don't know, what do you think in terms of that? I think kind of finances and visa easability is going to be a big one. What do you think people should take into consideration?
There's so much to consider. I mean, we hear from people who there's cultural differences to factor in, there's support systems to factor in, the feasibility of either person getting a job abroad, you know. So we had, let's see, an example. You know, so if you're moving somewhere, if you're quite close to your family and friends, you've got a good life, and you're moving somewhere and your partner doesn't have those things, and it's going to feel like it's just the two of you, I'd say that's going to make life for you infinitely harder.
Yeah.
Because if they're already used to being a bit more of a loner, they're probably not giving up as much to move. And I think, as we've said before, with your experiences, having a support network is pretty important. Like, there are times when it's really hard that you've moved, and if you feel like you've got no one to talk to there.
But I think even still, like, on that note, you know, I mean, I wouldn't say you're close with your family, but you're probably not as tight as I am with my family.
Yeah, I'm not the type of people who, like, aren't as close.
No, but I was just going to say, like, in terms of a support network, like, even if your partner's family is really tight-knit and, you know, you might have a bit of a network set up, it also isn't the same. It's kind of what your family and friends provide back home.
No, of course it's not the same.
Yeah, it's something people should bear in mind.
I think there's this romanticism idea that you two will just live in this bubble of happiness and they'll cater to every need you have and whatever problem you've got, they'll fix. You know, the reality is that's not often the case.
Yeah.
You are going to need more people. There's going to be times when they can't help you. There's going to be situations they're not as adept at, or maybe the problem you've got is an argument or a blind spot of theirs, or God forbid, if anything happens to them and you've moved to this country where there's nothing for you there except that one person, like, there's, you know, an absence of their family, you've given up a career to go there just for a more regular job, you know, like, you haven't got a purpose there other than this person, and then something happens to that person or whatever. So I think a big part of the question needs to be, what are the pros and cons for each of you to move?
Mm-hmm.
And also, I think there's a little warning to come in before you even get to the, because I think some people do rush into this again. Like, there's this real romanticism around it, and you know, we're building a fairy tale and whatever. And I think the really important thing to make sure of is you're well aware of what that person's like in real life. You know, so if you've only seen someone who's come to visit you, you've really just seen someone who's on more of a holiday period of time for them.
Yeah.
And they're going to be pretty happy. You're not seeing them in their natural environment. So, you know, fairly recently, there was an example came to my attention of someone who they've recently moved in, and they've discovered that their partner's incredibly lazy.
Mm.
And they smoke a lot of weed every day, and they play video games all day, and they're not working, but they're not doing anything around the house. And you think, like, that's always going to cause problems in a relationship.
Yeah.
And that's something that you probably won't find out, because I know everyone listening to this is thinking, oh, well, I know my partner, and they're great. But you're not going to know that about that person really until you see it. They're unlikely to volunteer that information.
Mm-hmm.
And you're almost certainly not going to see it when they're visiting you, because one, they're not really expected to be working or putting their weight. They may offer to, oh, let me wash up after dinner or whatever, but they're not expected to be running a house as such. So you really need to be with them in their home environment to see it. So as far as the question of who goes where, just make sure you really know what you're getting into, because if you pack up and you move hundreds or thousands of miles this person to get there and realise...
Did you say hundreds of thousands of miles?
Hundreds or thousands.
I was going to say, I don't think the world's that big.
Of miles, and you get there, and then you realise, actually, we're gonna have big, big problems.
Yeah.
Just in terms of cohabiting. So, yeah, that's definitely another factor.
Yeah, it is. And also, I think it's important to remember that it might be easier or better for one person to move than the other, but it's never going to be easy for either, probably. I mean, apart from, you know, kind of the red tape you might encounter, I mean, a lot of people don't have to move between countries. You might be just in a big country like America, or, you know, France, quite a big country, and, you know, being long distance like that. And there's still a lot to kind of, tackle and overcome in terms of logistics. And there's still cultural stuff within the same countries. Like, if you're from the deep south in America moving to Southern California, like, that's gonna be a bit of a culture change. And
yeah, there can be a big political divide.
Yeah.
I mean, if visas are in the equation, then it is very possible that the decision will be removed from you just by how easy it is for one of you to go somewhere else. You know, if you're moving to a country, if one of you are moving to a country where there are minimum income requirements and you don't match that, and the other country doesn't have that, then, you know, your decision's kind of made for you. So
mm-hmm.
you won't always have the luxury of deciding. And to be honest, that's probably easier, because then the question is, do we want this enough to make this decision? Whereas there could be a lot of arguments of, well, why don't you move? Am I not worth it? Well, why am I not worth it to move for? You know, so
yeah.
that's a really tricky... It's tricky waters to navigate. So sometimes it will just be out of your hands, and it'll be whatever's most feasible, most affordable. I think another warning for it would be, don't just go for the, like, what seems to be the easiest one up front could long term be more difficult. You know, so if you're, let's say you live in a English speaking country and you're studying for a very specific career. You fall in love with someone who lives somewhere where they have a different primary language, then you go in there, you've got to learn a new language, it's a new culture for you, and there's a high probability that what you're currently studying for doesn't translate out there, you know, or your qualification won't be valid out there. So it may be easier for you to get in initially, but then I think that's going to cause all sorts of problems, which in turn can lead to all sorts of resentment, because
yeah.
you're going to have to start again, finding a career, plus learning the language, plus assimilating into the culture. Now, the flip side to that is the same is probably going to be true for their partner. So, you know, it just depends which one of you, maybe one of you is more career-minded and it means more to you that you finish that qualification and get that degree. Maybe one of you really just... it doesn't, you know, isn't as bothered about what their career is. They just you know, just need want the money or whatever. So that would factor into it as well.
Yeah, and I think some other things, like, on the cultural side, like, religion's going to play a big factor. Like,
mm-hmm.
I mean, certain countries are extremely dominated by religion and others aren't.
Oh, and families, too.
Yeah, and I've, you know, I don't know. I just think that it's not a conversation that just happens once. I think that it's a conversation once couples... I mean, we've said it before. Like, people don't really enter a long-distance relationship to be casual. Like, you know, you put in the hard work and deal with the distance and the struggles that come with it because you see something in this person that you feel is worth committing to in the long term. So I think, not necessarily early on, but, you know, if it's been going long distance for a little while, I think those conversations of, hey, you know, I mean, someday we're going to want to close the distance, right? And hopefully the person says yes. And you can say, I mean, do you have any initial thoughts on where we would live? And that's probably a good way to start it. Like, not, hey, which one of us should move, but do you have any thoughts on where we should live? And then you can just kind of start having that conversation. And probably you already have it in your mind, maybe before you've even spoken about, you know, who might go where. But yeah, it can't just be one thing that's figured out in one big conversation, usually. Unless you're like us and it was just like, oh yeah, that's what we'll do.
Yeah, and I know that, you know, it's quite... popular conversation to say, well, let's move somewhere neutral, because I think it's a valid argument to say that's fairer, because both of you are giving up the same thing, and maybe if there's a big distance between the two countries, you can live somewhere where you're, like, you know, equidistant from both places. But the problem for me with that is, again, you're making it exponentially harder for both of you. Like,
what?
At least if one of you moves somewhere, then the other person is in a fairly stable position of, you know, that their life is associated, settled in, and their family's there, and their friends are there, and they can say, okay, well, look, I'll help you integrate into this community because I'm part of it. Whereas if you both move somewhere new, even removing any cultural and language barriers, you know, like, both of you have to try and settle into a new place completely. And get new jobs and make new friends, and neither of you have any family around. So it's just, you know,
it's a lot to put on yourself.
It's a lot to put on yourself, yeah. And then you can feel like both of you can feel isolated together. And, you know, on the one hand, maybe that can really bring you together because it's, you know, it's us against the world kind of thing. But then equally, it's
harder. Maybe unnecessary hardship.
You could just really get sick of the sight of each other because you're fully dependent on each other.
Well, I mean, like, when my family moved to Arizona, I was 10. My brother and sister had moved out, so they were going to uni and stuff. So it was just me and my mom and dad that moved. And them, having been married for 20-some years, and, like, having me, like, even that was a big adjustment, more so for my mom, because my dad had a job to go straight into. But so you think of what a couple who's living together for the first time in a new place, trying to figure out, you know, make a good impression in new jobs and find a nice place to live and not having, like you said, that kind of settled little bit of a village, you know, a little tribe around you to rely on.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't even have to be international. I mean, it could be someone who's on New York and California and they say, fine, let's settle in the
Midwest,
middle. Like,
yeah.
That's worlds apart from
each side.
From each. So, yes, it's like, and it's not like either of you's close to anyone you know, and life is very, very different. So I kind of feel like for most people, most of the time, the better option is for one person to move to where the other one already lives.
Mm-hmm.
And
or nearby, very
life.
Nearby or something, yeah.
Yeah, very nearby. And then who does it? It may be even, you know, that on paper it makes more sense for one person to do it because of the situation, like, you know, I've got more family around, it's going to be easy for you to get a job here, blah, blah. All those reasons might make sense for him to move, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
But in reality, she's kind of stronger at dealing with the kind of challenges they're going to face. He may have a harder time moving, even though on paper it kind of makes sense. So, yeah, draw up a list of pros and cons, but also bear in mind that personalities are going to have a huge impact in who should really do it.
Yeah. And I think for us that was true. And this is only hindsight. We didn't really talk about it at the time. But, like, I'm probably off the bat a more outgoing personality than you are. You are outgoing, but you can be, maybe just take a little bit while to get comfortable and start being a bit more chatty. So that might have been easier for me, even though my family maybe was a bit bigger and you would have met more people kind of stuff. It's just, like you say, it's, there were pros and cons to each, but different factors kind of affecting all of it.
And also, will one of you be happier than the other one by moving? So it may be that you both visit each other and one of you really likes where they live. You think, oh, this is really nice. And the other one isn't so keen, you know. So I don't think either of us really had that problem, but you can well imagine it happening, especially if there's someone who's just always lived in a really familiar place. It may just be that the thought of being somewhere where it's so different, not even distance, but it's just very different. Like me travelling to California, for example, one of the big differences was just how far away everything is. So you couldn't really, certainly where you live, you couldn't just walk to the shop, everything's a drive away.
Mm-hmm.
And it's little things like that. So it could be if someone is really used to just being able to walk everywhere, there's a real neighbourly community feel, and they're potentially moving to somewhere where you kind of feel more isolated day to day, but you feel a bit more isolated day to day and everything's further away, and that may just feel kind of harder for them.
Yeah, and I think something you mentioned a second ago I wanted to touch on was, you know, you go to where the other person is and you really like it, and that was kind of instant for me in England. I always wanted to come and I found it interesting. But just because you find a place really cool and you like being there doesn't mean that you're going to enjoy living there in the same way.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also important to remember that once you live somewhere for a while, that shine does kind of go away. Like, I still really appreciate the history and you know, the beauty of parts of England and stuff. But there's parts of it that I'm just fucking sick of now. And that I probably at the beginning was happy to deal with because I thought, oh, well, I like so much the rest of it. Now it just annoys me. Like, things did back home, like in Arizona, the heat. Fucking sick of it. It never was interesting to me.
Yeah, and the same would happen with me if we were to move. As much as I love, like, most of the places that we go to in America, you know, I do like where you come from in California. Like, I imagine after a couple of years, having to get in the car to do the most basic of things is going to get old.
But we do that already, pretty much, where we live.
Yeah, but that's laziness. But you know, we have the choice. Like, if the
at
car,
least we're accustomed to it.
But like, if the car doesn't work one day, you can very quickly feel like, oh my god, we can't go anywhere.
Yeah.
Like, whereas here. Here, at least, we have the option, like, where we live, there's a petrol station right there, so we can go up and pay inflated prices if we need snacks and things. It's little things like that,
yeah.
That, you know, you're not gonna be having this list of pros and cons and then probably think of those little things, but it's those details that probably get old quick. Like, one of the things that really pisses you off about living here is, like, the narrow roads. And
there's no room for anyone,
yeah,
or anything.
That's probably not something. You know, 10 years ago, if we were writing up our list of, right, okay, if we're going to say who's going to be the one to move, who is it fairer for, what do you and don't you like about the place, you probably wouldn't have put roads. Because you have to live here and experience,
yeah,
it day in, day out, in different seasons, when there's different types of traffic, when there's roadworks happening. Like, you know, you have to go through the full thing to say, oh, yeah, that's not as good as it is.
Yeah, so I think it's just more, it's not like you're going to know to think of those things ahead of time when you're figuring out who should go where, but it's more just realizing that eventually it's going to bug you, just like wherever you live does, you know, like.
Yeah, you'll always have some grievance, right?
Of course, because it's just because you're exposed to it constantly. Like, where I grew up in Arizona, it was the snowbirds in the winter. It was just chaos, and they were everywhere, and you couldn't drive, and they're big, stupid trucks, and this and that. And luckily, I don't have that now, but now there's just loads of idiots everywhere driving on a very small road.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something to consider. And something else to consider is what your lifestyle will be like in either place. So say one of you lives in kind of a rural area where there aren't many jobs and very many opportunities, you know, that should play a factor. If the other one lives in more of an area where there's, you know, a bit more of a rebirth of culture or jobs or properties, you know, really good kind of things like that. Those are boring, but necessary things to consider. Because you don't really want to move somewhere and then be struggling because of the location. Obviously, you're going to have struggles no matter what. Every relationship does. But in terms of, like, career, finding somewhere to live, you know, and kind of finance side, that's really worth considering massively. I think in terms of that, it would have been a lot easier for you to move to Arizona. But we wouldn't have wanted to stay there. We would have wanted to either be in California or here.
Mm-hmm.
And where we are now in California, both on the more expensive side of like lifestyle affordability. So yeah, that's also something to take into consideration. And you mentioned family. It's not just if the person you're with is close with their family. Do you get on with their family?
Yeah.
You know, if you say you don't get on with his family, maybe he should come be near
then,
you.
And then are they equally as the family, like, invited? Especially, like, the real... It's easier if you're all on the same page politically and your religion.
Yeah,
like,
but that's not
but if you are of different opinions to the family, you may make all the effort in the world to get on with them, but if they make life difficult for you, and especially if you feel like they're whispering in their child's ear that you know, you're not right together and stuff, then they can make life very, very difficult. Mm-hmm. And as sad as it is, there are those toxic families that even if, yeah, they really mean one, that the person should move away from them, even if, again, on paper, you would be the one moving there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it's actually, oh, the lifestyle's great there, I'll get a job quite easily there, like all that kind of stuff's good, but the family's this poisonous environment, then that would probably be a factor that should override all the others. Or unless you can be confident that, yeah, you can move there, but you'll be able to minimise exposure to them and live your own lives. And so that, it could be that any one factor that you're dealing with could be worth more than the others. It's not just... each factor isn't worth the same as all the other factors, and you can say, right, well, there's 10 in the pros list and 8 in the cons list. It could be that, yeah, there's 8 in the cons list, but one of those things is so particularly powerful that it overrides 10 in the pros list.
Yeah, and, like, having been the person who did, you know, change everything and make the move, looking back, I think it's... I wish I hadn't put so much pressure on myself in terms of, like, oh, this is forever. I think when I moved here, I 100% thought, like, this is where I'm going and spending the rest of my life. And I think that made it scarier and harder than it had to be, because life is long, hopefully. And, you know, you don't have to look at it like that. You could think, well, we're going to go and maybe spend 10, 15 years in this place, 5 years even, and see how it goes. You know, you don't have to make a huge decision on the forever basis. Because, like, now I know, after having been here for 8 years, that I can't imagine never living back home again. And at some point, it's probably something we will look into. But, yeah, I think it was very scary for me. Like, it was exciting, and I wanted to do it. Don't get me wrong. I wanted to make the move, and I was excited to close the distance and for us to finally wake up together every morning and kind of stuff. But, yeah, I think there was some unnecessary, like, well, this is it. Like, this is... my life, and I'm going to be away forever, and I'm going to miss all these things and stuff, when really, in a couple of years, depending on your decisions, that could all be the way around.
Yeah, so something else to consider with the conversation is what happens if the person moves and after a few years wants to go back. For a lot of relationships, that could be the end. Is the other person prepared to move as well? And I know that for us, it was always important that I think before you even moved, we had the conversation if we all always make sure we have the ability to have even if it's just you have a ticket back home.
Mm.
You know, if you were needed out there for whatever reason, or you just needed to go and see people, then so there was like though it didn't mean you were moving back, it meant that if anything went wrong or you were just so homesick you needed to go and see people,
I could get back. Yeah.
You, whether that was just we've got the cash in the bank or we're prepared to put that on a credit card and prioritise paying that off, like whatever it was. We removed that obstacle from the equation so that you, if ever you needed to go back, you know, like, fine, getting time off work notwithstanding, you could do that. And I think for everyone, that's something that should really be at the top of their priority list, because you don't want to be moved somewhere, be there for, you know, however long, from a few weeks to a few months or a year, whatever, but at some point you get a phone call or you decide, I just need to go and see people, I need to be around familiar faces and feel trapped.
Mm.
Especially if it's, I'm missing a funeral, or I'm missing someone who's really ill, or I'm missing a birth, or whatever. If it's something that, you know, you needed there and you can't be there, because not only are you going to be really sad, you're going to probably feel quite angry at your partner and, you know, I've made this huge sacrifice for you and now I'm stuck here. But as much as that can be a joint decision, it needs to be more your decision than theirs. And it's not their responsibility to... to have the money for you to have a plane ticket. You know, if you can't afford it yourself, that's fine, but it needs to be a joint decision of, are we prepared to put that on a credit card or whatever. It can't be, you can't hold it against them that they haven't got the money for you to fly back, unless that's been some previous agreement that you don't need to work, I'll take care of you. You know, so yeah, fine, there may be some scenarios where there's an exception to that, but generally it's going to be mainly your responsibility to have the means to get back, but I think it's important that you do.
Yeah, and I think that is a conversation that we had before. But funnily enough, the conversation that we never really had before I moved was whether you would ever be happy to move out there.
We did.
We didn't until I was living here.
No, we did.
No, we didn't.
We did. I remember being in your bedroom at the house and it came up. I was like, I don't know if I could ever live out here.
Maybe that's why. Because then I remember after I moved out here, I remember like, I had a lot of feelings.
Said at the time, I said, like, if we really had to, then I would, and that put your mind at rest. So the decision we came to was we'd move here, and that would be where we really tried our hardest. But you knew in the back of your mind, if you really had to move back, then we would do that. I vividly remember that.
Because I remember
and that happened in America. Maybe it may have been fairly late in the day, but it happened that way.
I think there might have been. I think you were hesitant to say. Because I vividly remember, like, being here, arranging our wedding, sorting out all that, and having a lot of feelings. You know, I was away from everyone for the first time and realizing kind of the magnitude of the decision I'd made living, you know, with you here.
Oh, yeah, it came up more so later, but we had that conversation before you moved.
I remember when you were here, when we were here, and you were like, I don't want to, because I just said, look, I need to know that if I can't do this, we can go back. And you were kind of like, well, I don't want to say that. And then you'd be like, okay, well, I want to go back. And it took me a while to explain to you, like, no, that's not how I'm feeling. I just need to know that if I get to that point,
mm-hmm.
I know. And you finally kind of said yes.
Yeah, it's certainly not a conversation we had a lot.
But we should have. Detail. Yeah, I should have had a lot more. I mean, I think my main thing was just getting us to be together permanently. And also, I kind of communicated to you early on that I wouldn't be moving until there was a commitment made. Like,
mm-hmm.
like, unless we're engaged, I'm not doing this. Like, it's too much to sacrifice. You know, I had a lovely family, a lot of good friends. There were certainly things I didn't enjoy about my life, you know, and things that I didn't enjoy there.
Yeah, and I think the conversation for us would have been very different if you'd lived somewhere else. Like, if you lived in California, if you lived somewhere like, Boston, somewhere where, you know, it just happened that Arizona, you were a little bit...
I was done.
Yeah, you were a little bit lonelier there. Work wasn't really fulfilling you. You know, it was very hot and stuff. Like, you know, you were home.
I didn't really like it, yeah.
If you'd lived somewhere where you're like, I can't leave this place, it's fantastic. I think if you'd lived closer to certain family members in California, that may well have been the conversation.
There would have been, yeah, a lot more to consider, I think. And I think things may have gone differently, but that meant that we didn't end up together at all, because I was like, no, this place is fantastic. I'd love you to be here and be a
part of it. Yeah, I mean, the reality is there's going to be couples out there where neither of you want to leave.
Yeah.
And really, you know, realistically, I think both of you are entitled to say that. If one of you doesn't want to leave, then you certainly can't make the other one feel guilty for not leaving. But reality for that is you may not make it, because how can you?
Well, logistically, it is really, really hard, and it's a hard decision to make.
The ideal situation is having enough money that you can just live in both places.
I guess so. But I think, really, it's very important to respect the way the other person feels, because chances are, if they have a good family and you know, maybe a good career trajectory, and it's, you know, they're happy where they are, like, you can't take that out on them, especially if you feel the same.
I think empathy is hugely important in this conversation.
Yeah, and just and not feeling rushed
and then
to make
not,
the decision.
And then if it is you that moves, not making them feel guilty or, you know, I think it you may feel like you've got something you can hold over them, like you fucking did when you first moved. It was always like, I moved here for you, I'll move home, you know, and, you know, that's fine.
Well, hold on, let's talk about that a little bit. Those were only in very emotionally distraught moments.
Yes.
And during times when we were not getting along.
Yeah, that's true. But
I didn't just say it like, you didn't do the dishwasher, I moved here for you all.
No, that's true. But, you know, and you no longer do it. But it's not something that you can feel like, well, I've got that in my back pocket to throw at them. Like, you know, you made that decision and that is your decision, so...
But that being said, there should be a certain amount of awareness around what that person has done
yeah,
and given
I mean,
up. It doesn't mean that you should always say yes to them and you should always do exactly what they want.
Well, going back to that example I said earlier where, you know, if you've got a partner who you move a long way and their response to that is they stay home all day playing video games, getting high, not working and not showing any appreciation for what you've done, then yeah, fine, you can mention it. But I mean, generally, it's not something you want to try and make them feel guilty.
No, because it was your decision too at the end of the
yeah.
day. But I do think that, you know, like I said, that just
you can you can expect certain behaviors, but then you should expect certain behaviors in a relationship anyway.
You should.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I remember there was a time when, you know, I said to you, and it was in that first year when we had our first apartment and we weren't getting along very well and we were both trying to figure shit out and how to be a husband and how to be a wife. And I think you'd just been a bit, meh, I don't want to do anything more. And I remember like going to the pub, my first job, and we'd been arguing and I said something along the lines of like, you know, I didn't move here for average, right? And you just kind of looked at me and like it really... You're like, oh, yeah. And I was like, I'll see you later, I'm going to work. And then, like, when I got home, we talked about it. And you're like, oh, you know, I didn't even...
Yeah, there is an enormity to it.
There's what?
There's an enormity to
yeah.
that the partner needs to be receptive.
Because I said to you, like, I could have just... If I wanted average, you know, I would have just stayed in Arizona, married a farmer, probably, and whatever. You know, I didn't make such a huge... I made it because I thought what we would have would be extraordinary. And what we had was extraordinary, but we went through a period where we just were trying to figure shit out and fought a lot.
Yeah.
And it was hard. And we got out of it, you know, and things just keep getting better for us. But, you know, so yeah, it's not something you should throw in their face, absolutely. And like, yeah, I did it in very emotionally distraught times. Which, you know, looking back, I wish I hadn't, because it's unnecessarily... unnecessary guilt, although I don't think you're a person to take guilt that you don't deserve. Like, you know, when some, you're not like, oh yeah, you're like, well, no, fuck you, that was a decision we both made together, like, don't
yeah.
throw that at me.
Yeah.
You're tough like that. Some people aren't. Some people be like, oh god, like, am I shit? Whatever.
Yeah.
But it is something that needs to be considered, and it needs to also be considered in the fact that if you're not the person who moves and your partner moves to be with you, like, your job, your role is very big in that person's life now. You know, especially if they don't, like, say you went to college together and you stayed in the college town and they moved back home and then they moved back and, you know, if you know mutual people in your college town, it's not going to be a hard adjustment. But if they move to a completely foreign place that they only associate with you, like with me, only thing that I had to do with England was that Rich lived here and that's why I came here. You were my sole reason for coming here, you know, and I remember saying to you early on, like, okay, we know I'm emotionally a lot of work anyway, but I just want you to be prepared for how much support you're going to have to be for me. And, you know, we did talk about that, and I think you had a really good understanding of what that was going to mean for you. You know, he had to be my family. He had to be my best friend. He had to be my husband. And in the horrible moments when we were fighting, I had no one to turn to because all I had here was him. And, you know, that was something that we had to deal with and kind of navigate our way through. And I'd be a fucking liar if I said that that was easy.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that it is a weighted decision and people need to take it really seriously. And I know it's very exciting, especially if the person you fall for lives in kind of a cool place or somewhere you've always wanted to go, to just think, oh, yep, I'll do that.
Well, the other thing is, you know, it may well be that things like medical history come into this. If you're moving somewhere where if you've already got a condition and you move somewhere, let's say America, where you need to get insurance, will they cover your existing condition?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that may really play a part in your decision. And I'm only bringing up health as, you know, one possible, so I'm sure there are plenty others.
Criminal background.
Yeah, very true. Yeah, you may
even
not,
if it's just getting busted for weed when you were 18.
Well,
you
may not. You may, again, America, I think, is very tough on background checks like that. So.
Oh, yeah, we knew that someone who only got off with a warning for doing coke, like, in a bathroom. And it was only a warning, but they weren't able to travel to America. Like,
yeah, so, again, there may be just situations where you have no choice, and then it comes down to...
making the
and that
it.
May be something you find out after you may go through that whole conversation. Okay, who's moving? Okay, you'll move to me. You get through the process, and they get denied. Or something comes up, and they realise,
the
medical reason
yeah.
you can't. Then you've got a potentially more difficult conversation to have of... oh, well, we had agreed you would do it, and now am I
now
prepared
what?
To do it? Maybe not. You know, so a lot to consider.
There is, and I think we do a really good job of making things sound really unromantic, but...
But there, like you've said many times in this podcast, there are times when the relationship is like a business, and this is one of them. This, you don't make this decision on romance.
Mm-hmm.
Because...
You shouldn't, but
because
people do, and I think I kind of did partially.
The romance should always be there in your relationship, but it won't always be there. And 5-10 years down the line, when you're sitting in traffic again and a road that's too small, or you're somewhere where your medical bill is incredibly high and you come from a country where it's, you know, covered, these are the details where you're not going to think, oh, well, I think the romance is worth it. You're going to be... emotional about it. You're going to be upset and angry or resentful, especially if you're going to have times in your marriage where you two aren't getting on as well, and then those resentments in the back of your mind can pop up. And so you don't make the decisions because it's, you know, it's just the quickest way or the easiest way or the romantic way. You need to be a bit more serious about it.
Yeah, it's a big grown-up decision to make, so you need to do it in a, you know, in a grown-up way. And, yeah, the romance should be there anyway because you love each other.
So I think we want to hear from people on this.
Yes.
So come talk to us. Come on Instagram, Mr. Mrs. Distance, or search Long Distance to Marriage. And tell us if you're going through this conversation or if you've already moved and how, you know, what the conversation that you had was. We want to know.
You've grown up so much.
Well, yeah, I'm older.
Well, yeah, but I just think about, like, some of those conversations that we were talking about, like, oh, I don't think you can move here. Like, I don't know. It's just kind of amazing, like, how much things have... Both of us. I think I've calmed down a fuck a lot. I don't freak out over everything anymore.
Mm.
And you're not so rigid. You're a lot more flexible. I think we've just worn each other down over the years. Anyways, yeah. Yeah, find us in the places and send us messages. And
if you can't find us on Instagram, there's a link on our website. So visit longdistancetomarriage.com. You can click on the Twitter and Instagram links. But if you can find us on there, send us a message or send us an email and tell us how you went through this process or if you're about to go through it, because we'd really like to hear.
Yeah, and you can always request any episode topics anytime. So please do that as well. And we will talk to you next week.